yo, unique. We that lick
ass. Sometimes you gotta grab one of these break beats real quick and just like that body that shit. You know what I mean?
I don't care if it's out New York style. Let's get hot.
Hey, yo, kiss your styles. You motherfuckers know I'm traveling the globe. And I rap like I'm rhyming in the road. Break dancing in the stroke. Pop locking, Glock popping, black stocking. Yankee hat low, we in here, club rocking. Smoking like a chimney. Smoking like I'm in the bullpen for niggas to come get me. Get me. 30 on my wrist, boy. Crash the whip, 200 on my next tour. Woo. Fuck, we need to talk about. It's no talking when the motherfucking guns is out. Can't rap with your motherfucking lung out. IG ain't the same with your tongue out. Shit. We murderers, nigga. Mighty, mighty D-Block. Yeah, you heard of us, nigga.
No doubt.
Our money ain't the same, youngin'.
No.
I could throw it in the bag like Fab said at Tiffany stores.
Okay.
I could pull up in a boat in any one of these shores. I still got the money from my last three tours. Sell merch, make 100 back. So
man, what's going on, people? Welcome to another episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show. My name is Mr. Tariq Elite, and I'm broadcasting live from Floss Scandalous, California. Glad to have everybody tuning in. I gotta let that roll. That's that new locks. Hold on, that's my channel.
Tags every day, but the gat ain't new.
I gotta let that new locks rock. That's called no selfie.
I can make you disappear. I'll vanish you.
Woo! I had to let that rock for a minute. But hey, man, glad to have everybody tuning into the show. We're gonna chop up some real good game on today's show. So you guys call in. I'm gonna take a couple of calls, but I do want to spit some hot fire to talk about some things. The phone number is 818-850-5404, ladies and gentlemen. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to take a real quick commercial break, and that means real quick, and we'll be right back right here on Tariq Elite Radio, ladies and gentlemen.
K-Soldier, the t-shirt brand inspired by ancient mysteries and modern style. Sign up for their t-shirt subscription and get a new exclusive shirt delivered every month automatically. Every shirt comes with a magazine that doubles as a poster, which describes the story and the history behind the design and the detail. It also comes with free stickers. Sign up for the t-shirt subscription right now. Tariq Radio listeners, use the coupon code KFLEX and get 50% off on your first month. That's CaseUltra.com. Again, that's CaseUltra.com.
You know, one of my favorite songs back in the day from Usher is called Let It Burn. But what you don't want to let burn are your genitals. That's because casual sex is on the rise right now, and so are STDs. And yes, it can happen to you. You can't be so trusting with people out here. And you want to get yourself checked out, so you need to go to stdhometestkit.com and order their in-home STD test kit. You can test at home and you can get the results at home, and the results come in less than 10 minutes. Plus, you get instant HIV testing. No mailing off to the lab, no embarrassing trips to the STD clinic with other people you might know that's burning along with you. Go to stdhometestkit.com right now, add the KFLEX coupon code and get 25% off on your order.
You're now tuning into the king of game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
What's going on, everybody? We are back with the Tariq Elite Radio Show, and I am Mr. Tariq Elite. Glad to have everybody tuning back in. Ladies and gentlemen, don't forget, I'm going to be in St. Louis. We're having a screening for Hidden Colors 3 in St. Louis in a few weeks. That's going to be October 4th. That's a Saturday, 5:30 p.m. at the JCPenney Theater at the University of Missouri St. Louis. Go to TariqLive.com to get more information on that. And the screening is absolutely free. It's a free screening for everybody down there in St. Louis and Ferguson. Now, people have been hitting me up from different states saying, can they come? Yes, you can come. You can come to the screening. I'm going to be there. We're going to have a discussion afterwards. It's going to be a great event. We're going to have a great time, and it's going to be constructive. So that's going to be October 4th. St. Louis, it's a place right outside Ferguson. Get more information at TariqLive.com or recallformike.com. And don't forget to get Hidden Colors 1, 2, and 3 at HiddenColorsFilm.com, or you can get it at Amazon.com, ladies and gentlemen. Let's see who's on the phone. We got a lot of folks calling. What's up? Who's calling?
Hey, Tariq.
What's up, man? Who is this?
This Jack, man, from Tallahassee, Florida.
Jack from Tallahassee. How you doing, fam?
I'm doing good. I just graduated, man. I just graduated from FAMU with a bachelor in science and health science.
Oh, there you go, man. That's what's up. Congratulations, homie. So what you going to do with yourself?
Hey, appreciate it. That's what I'm trying to figure out now, because I just graduated in my major is health science with a discipline in physical therapy. But I don't want to go that route no more, so I'm probably going to more than likely take organic chemistry 1 and organic 2 and apply to pharmacy school at FAMU.
All right, but look, but the thing is, see, don't get caught up in this trap of just keep going to school over and over again. After you get all these degrees and everything and all this knowledge, what are you going to do with it? Because that's the thing with us. We just go back and forth to school, get these grants and loans, and never really apply what we learned. So what are you going to do with all of this stuff? What are you going to do with it?
Actually, I want to go back to school and pharmacy and, like, come up with some type of medicine to help alleviate some pains in the black community, but I haven't thought of exactly what ailment I wanted to heal, but some type of cancer that plagues our community.
Yes, indeed. All right, think about that, man. Think about in terms of how you're going to apply it and how you're going to actually start a career for yourself. Start thinking in those terms. Yes, indeed. But anyway, thank you for the call, fam. Yeah, that's the thing, man. A lot of us get caught up in just going to school professionally. Black folks get caught up in that. You keep getting them loans, and y'all don't get caught up in that. Don't get caught up in that circle of just being a professional student. You got motherfuckers 40 and 50 years old talking about they got to take a couple of more classes. Apply some of that stuff you're learning. Apply what you've learned. Because, you know, as I asked the dude, what you going to do with that? Well, I plan on going back to school. I'm like, okay, dude, y'all got to stop all that. Apply what you're learning. Create a business for yourself. That's what you do. What's up? Who's calling?
Hello, Tariq. I got a question about, I'm trying to travel across the world, you know, for my page. I got money to do it. So I wanted to know, what would you say is the top three countries that have the most beautiful black woman outside of, that look just as good as one from L.A.?
Let me see. So you want to travel and your goal is just to see beautiful black women?
Yeah, I'm 24. So, okay. Hey, I'm still on my PlayStation.
Okay, there you go. Well, the first stop is going to have to be Brazil. That's number one. Yeah, I'm just talking about places that are close. Brazil is number one. Then you go to Panama. A lot of lovely sisters down in Panama. The Dominican Republic, a lot of them. I was just out there. A lot of beautiful sisters out there. Then, hell, go to Africa. You want to go to the source, go to, like, I was in Tanzania. There's nothing but beautiful sisters out there all over the place. They show you the motherfuckers walking around with tree branches and sticks and bones and shit on television. But there's some bad sisters in Africa, bruh. They just don't show you that on television. But you can go there, and it's a whole plethora of them. And they don't have Ebola and all that old bullshit they try to tell you. So you can go straight.
Have you ever been to, like, Ethiopia and Eritrea?
I've been to Ethiopia before. Real nice sisters out there, too. I haven't been to Eritrea. I do want to go to Eritrea. And I plan on, I might go back out to Africa sometime later on this year. But, yeah, start off with those places. You'll be good to go, fam. Thanks for the call. All right, let me get one more call, and then we'll start chopping up game about what we need to chop up game about. What's up? Who's calling?
What's up, Tariq?
What's up, man? Who's this?
This is Desmond Cook.
Desmond
Cook from Jacksonville, Florida.
Desmond Cook from Jacksonville. How you doing, family?
I'm doing good. I wanted you to wake me up with some high school games. Cause, you know, I'm a senior in high school, and, like, the last 3 years have been pretty awkward. So I'm trying to come out of my shell this year and kind of, like, bounce back this year.
Damn, so you're trying to just go for broke on your last year, huh?
Yeah, I was like I said, I was like awkward, like, you know, like, you're a freshman, you're just awkward and all that, like, kind of.
But you've been
kind of come out of that.
You've been awkward for the whole 4 years.
Well, not all 4 years. Like, I would say, I mean, last year I had fun though, but I say like the first 2 years because I was like that conspiracy theorist. So I know that turned a lot of girls off. I could have got, so I had to change that about me. Because it wasn't working my best interest.
No, what you need to be focused on right now, since this is your last year, you need to be focusing on just charging all that high school shit to the game. Because that's going to be all behind you, because now you're about to enter college. So you need to set your sights high on stepping your game up during your college years. And the high school people are going to be completely irrelevant by June 21st, or whenever you get out of high school. They're going to be relevant. They're going to be non-factors. Most of those people you're never really going to see again in your life. So we got to learn how to say fuck those high school cats and females and all that, and start looking forward. Now you got to start tailoring your game to some of these grown-ass college girls you're about to encounter, and how to keep your game crisp and step into the college game thorough with your game intact and not on that awkward shit, because you're not going to do another 4 years of awkwardness. You learn from high school what you should have done and should not have done. Now you're going to take that knowledge and apply it to the new arena, which is college. You feel me?
I feel you.
There you go, man.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for the call, fam. All right, now let's get into some game. Let's chop up game, ladies and gentlemen. So what we're going to talk about today, today's show is entitled The Negro Bedwench Wake-Up Call. It's the Negro Bedwench Wake-Up Call. And a lot of women who have the Negro Bedwench mentality, because that is a mentality that is prevalent among a certain sector of women we have out here. Not all. Fortunately, most sisters out here are not with the Negro bedwench mentality. That's a great thing. But unfortunately, you do have a contingency of sisters out here who have that old slavery Negro bedwench mentality. And there's a lot of black people in general who take on a lot of characteristics left over from slavery. And we talk about coons, we talk about sellouts, we talk about Uncle Toms, we talk about mammies, but something that is very taboo is to talk about the Negro bedwench. And I've made that somewhat popular by talking about it, and a lot of women who have that Negro bedwench mentality, they cry foul. Like, how dare you point us out? But you have to be pointed out. We got to talk about all of it. And I've talked about the Negro bedwench mentality very extensively. And I've talked about how many of the Negro bedwenches are going to start getting a major wake-up call. And the wake-up calls are piling up. A lot of people now, and I talked about this on my last show, people are talking about Ray Rice and domestic violence with NFL players. There was another NFL player that was accused today of domestic violence. Dwyer, I think that's his last name. Dwyer, I think he plays for the Cardinals. I think. I don't follow these guys too much, but there was one gentleman a few days ago accused of beating his son. He had a 4-year-old that he whipped with the switch or something like that and left whelps, and now they're, you know, getting on his ass. And again, today there's a new case of an assault charge. We don't know the details. We don't know if it's domestic violence, but they said it's an assault charge with another black player. And the media is having a field day throwing these brothers under the bus, running with these stories. A lot of mainstream feminist groups are campaigning, getting their money by making a big fake outrage rallying cry over these brothers getting charged with these assault and domestic violence charges. And I say fake outrage because they don't have the same outrage for white males who commit these charges, especially if these charges are against a black female. That's why I say the outrage is fake, because if you're outraged about women getting hurt or harmed or assaulted or being victims of domestic violence, you're going to be outraged at all of it, not just when the brothers do it. If you're selectively outraged, it's fake outrage. So I'm very well in my bounds to say that. But now you have a lot of these mainstream feminist groups sending in their people on the boards of some of these NFL teams, and they're having sit-down meetings with the NFL to talk about domestic violence awareness. So they're getting money for this stuff. They're using this. See, when you have these groups, and I talked about this last week, coming in trying to rally for a black female at the expense of a black male, they're getting money for this stuff. So they're going in, they're getting all types of kickbacks and earmarked money using the black male as the face of domestic violence. That's big money. That's real big money. That's always been big money. And there was a black female organization called the Black Women's Roundtable who were complaining that no women of color have been allowed to go in here to talk about domestic violence, and so many black women experience domestic violence and all this. They're upset that the white groups, the white female organizations, are going in there getting that money and so-called bringing awareness to domestic violence on the back of a black woman that they're supposed to be so enamored about protecting. So all these black female organizations are now crying foul. They want to be able to go in here and throw brothers under the bus as so-called black female organizations, and that's what a lot of them do, not all of them, but certain black female organizations who have the Negro bedwinch mentality, they want the opportunity to go throw brothers under the bus. But you have to understand, the Negro bedwinch wake-up call is here. They don't really need the Negro bedwinches like they used to. See, usually the Negro bedwinches would go in and get a couple of nigger trinkets and point the finger at black males and shit on them, and the Negro bedwinches would get a pat on the head, and they thought that they had this little safe place right next to white supremacy. But those days are over now, ladies. Those days are over. And these black female organizations are crying foul, but it's the same old trick they've been running on you from day one. You were just blinded by the nigger trinkets. You didn't see it. Now they're not even giving you nigger trinkets. They're being blatant about throwing black females under the bus right along with brothers. And the thing is, the real wake-up call came with this black female actress. Her name is Danielle Watts. This was the major Negro bedwinch wake-up call. Now, Danielle Watts, I don't know too much about the sister. She's an actress. She's been in Django. She had a very small part in Django. She played a Negro bedwinch in Django, if we want to be very honest. She was in one scene, I think. It was like one or two scenes, I think, she was in. But she was in one scene where she was working at a plantation. She had like a French maid's dress on. So it was basically like a hoe house / plantation. It was that type of thing where she was basically a Negro bedwinch. She was a Negro bedwinch. A female slave who was there to please white males sexually. That's basically what a Negro bedwinch is. I'm not saying it's good or bad, right or wrong. I'm just talking history now. That's what they used to call them. When you look at slave narratives, you see that term pop up, bedwinch here, bedwinch there. That was a very common term back then. That's what they referred to black female slaves who were sexual concubines. They referred to them as the Negro bedwinch. Now, the thing is, unfortunately, the women back then didn't have a choice but to be the Negro bedwinches. Now, today, women have a choice whether they want to be a Negro bedwinch or not. And if you choose to be that or have that type of mentality, you should be called out on that. That's a choice. Just like these dudes out here, they choose to be coons. Cooning is a choice. You don't have to coon. Like in slavery, cooning was a survival mechanism. You had to coon to survive. And you had to be a bedwinch to survive. But you don't have to do that now. Acting like you're on a plantation. And this young lady, Danielle, and she might be a very sweet person. She might be a very nice young lady, but she's dating in real life a white male. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with dating interracially. I'm not knocking interracial relationships. But the thing is with Danielle, she got caught up in a situation. And I think by her dating this white male, she thought that some of that white privilege would rub off on her. And this is where the Negro bedwinch mentality comes from. This is where it comes into play. Because she thought that her dating this white dude, she now had certain privileges by proxy because of him that she could kind of throw around. And then she got a very quick wake-up call and then went right to the race thing. Now, for those who don't know, there was a situation with this young lady. A story came out. This black lady, black actress, and her boyfriend were making out in a car. She came out the next day saying, hey, they police thought I was a prostitute. They handcuffed me and harassed me because I was a black woman and I'm in an interracial relationship. She made a big brouhaha about this. And the suspected white supremacists around the country, they did what they always did. They said, wait a minute, let's not jump to conclusions. Let's investigate this. See, when black men or black people are accused of something by the dominant society, we're just accused. They're like, you know, damn the evidence. We don't need no evidence. Accusation, get these niggas up out of here. But when you're a black person and you're accusing any white person of doing anything, the dominant society is always going to want to see more facts. They want to see more evidence. So with Danielle, she was making a big brouhaha about how they handcuffed her and asked her for her ID. She didn't do anything wrong. She didn't want to show her ID. And then some pictures came out and some audio tape came out. And a lot of people have turned on her, including a lot of black folks. A lot of black people have turned on her because now people are saying she was falsely playing the race card, because some people are saying that her and her boyfriend were actually having sex in the car. Now that, to be honest, I don't quite believe, because TMZ came out with some photos the next day showing her in the car, kind of sitting on top of the guy, but she's not naked, she's not unclothed, so you can't tell if she's having sex or not. It doesn't look like she's having sex, but they said some eyewitnesses said that they were having sex. And again, number one, I don't believe anything that some suspected white supremacists will say. They always exaggerate stuff when it comes to black folks. When it comes to black people, everything is always exaggerated. So she might have just been kissing her dude, which is what she said she was doing, but they put extras on it. They always do that with us. And another thing, what's very interesting, black folks, I hope black people understand that, you know, random people call the police on you all the time. When you do certain things, or if you're a black person and you're in an area that's not really occupied by too many black folks, a lot of times black people, those in the dominant society, they call the police on you for random shit. Even if you're just looking suspicious to them, you just walking down the street, there are people who will call the police on you. A lot of times, black folks, the police has been called on you, you don't even know it. But sometimes the police just won't come out because they'll say, hey, there's a black guy out here looking suspicious. And the cops are like, well, is he doing anything? No, but he's just kind of looking suspicious. So a lot of times the cop, they ain't gonna come out there and mess with you. But trust and believe, a lot of times black people, when you're out somewhere where there's people in the dominant society and it's a very small number of other black people, there are people who call the police on you. Just understand that. Sometimes you feel it. You know, when black people kind of get this feeling when you go somewhere, you know that you're being watched. You feel like you're being watched. You kind of feel like, damn, yeah. Kind of feel uncomfortable. Well, that uncomfortability is very justified, because there are people reporting your ass to something. And people in the dominant society are very good on that, especially at your job. And I talked about this a lot. At your job, there's a whole file on you. If you're a black person, if you're like one of the few black people at your job and it's a big corporation, they got a file on you, dude. Or female. They got a file on you. They keep a file on you at human resources, where people make random complaints about you. If you come to work and you're not smiling, somebody went and made a complaint about you. I get emails from you guys and y'all tell me the horror stories working at these jobs. I already know. That's why you notice some of your non-black coworkers, they'll try to bait you into some bullshit jive-ass conversation. They're always picking with you a little bit with these conversations, acting innocent. They'll come up to you and say, hey, Dante, what do you think about that Ray Rice situation, man? What's his problem? Did he grow up without a father or something? Was his mother on welfare? Does that make him real angry? And they're saying this stuff to you, trying to act innocent and goofy, and you're sitting there like, you know, hey, man, I'm doing my work right now. I really don't want to get into that. They'll go somewhere and tell on you. They're like, hey, I was talking to Dante. I was just trying to talk to him about sports, and he blew me off. What's his deal? They're telling on you now. they play those little psychological games with black folks at these jobs and all over the place. When you're the lone black person, you are a target. People are dry snitching on you left and right. And this is the case with this situation. This woman was out here making out with her boyfriend in the car, and it was probably innocent. They were just probably making out real innocently. But the people in the dominant society, especially Studio City, which is a predominantly white area. I live not too far from there on Ventura Boulevard. Oh, yeah. So she's making out with this white guy. The whole bunch of calls came in. 911, there's a Negro prostitute out here turning a trick. You know, they went to snitching with all their stereotypes. So the cops came. They ran up on her. And the thing is, again, she had the Negro bedwench mentality. She thought that she had white girl privileges because she tried to play the white girl card, which is, you know, do you know who I am? My dad's a lawyer. You know, white girls, you know, they'll pull the family card. My uncle's a cop too. You know, they'll pull that card. But let me play a little audio of Danielle and her interaction with the cops.
Who's the owner of the car?
That's me. Your registration?
No, don't worry about it. I have her ID.
Oh, I have her passport.
Daddy, can you hold on just one second? Hold on. Excuse me. What's the issue?
Somebody called the police saying that there was lewd acts in the car.
There's no lewd acts happening.
Doesn't matter. I have to ID you.
We're not doing anything.
Somebody called.
I'm on the phone with my dad. This is my boyfriend.
Okay, I want to see your ID. Somebody called, which means gives me the right to be here. So it gives me the right to identify you.
Do you know how many times I've been called? The cops have been called just for being black.
That is
just
not,
because we're black and he's white. I'm just being really honest.
I don't. Who brought up a race card? Why?
I'm bringing it up because
I said nothing about you being black.
Here.
And I have every right to ask your ID.
And I have every right to say no. And if you'd like
no,
to,
you do not have
like
every right to say
it,
no.
You can take me down to the court office and I can make a scene about it.
No.
And you know what? I have a publicist and I work as an actor.
I'm mildly interested. I'm mildly interested. You have a publicist, but I'm going to get your ID.
No, I am going to say no. And if you'd like my ID, you can say that I am resisting arrest and you can.
There's no resisting, you're just interfering.
And what
That's
I'm saying is I have not done anything wrong. I'm on the phone with my father. My stepmom is dying.
Do you know what probable cause is?
You
know what probable cause is?
Yes, and I have none. What is the
I have probable cause.
I'm sitting here talking
the radio
on the phone
call
to my father.
That's
so if you'd like to demand my ID.
Can you have her ID, please?
No, you may not.
That's
you may not have my ID. And if you would like to demand
L30,
it.
30, send me a female officer, please.
Please do.
I'm going to get your ID one way or the other.
That's fine. You can do whatever you'd like.
Yes, I am.
Daddy.
Thank you for bringing up the race card. I never hear that.
All right, there you go. I played that. So she tried to pull the white girl thing, like crying, and they don't give a. You see how they're like, well, keep yelling with your black ass. We don't give a fuck. They treated her. They gave her the Negro treatment. They didn't give a shit. Oh, poor thing. And I'm not laughing at her because I feel her to a certain degree. But the Negro bedwinch mentality, it's just funny to see somebody get that wake up call. It's funny to see somebody get that wake-up call. She tried to play the white girl role. My dad, my stepmom is dying. They were like, hey, your black ass is going to get in these cuffs if you don't cooperate. That was their whole mentality. They weren't feeling none of that victim talk. See, the thing is with the Negro bedwinch mentality, like I said earlier, a lot of these women with that mentality, they think if they lay up and make out and ride out and with white supremacy, and they think if they buddy up with people in the dominant society, that's going to give them a pass and their lottery number is not going to get called. And they are sadly mistaken. When I talk about the white supremacist lottery, all of us can get picked. Her number was called that day. that Negro Bedwinge mentality, that's not working no more. Where y'all used to just buddy up with the white supremacists and then throw brothers under the bus, they're getting you now. They're showing you what they think about you as black females now. They're letting you know you're in the same boat as those Negroes. Negress, you're in the same boat. We're not going to give you special treatment. You're in the same boat. And you notice they have the same stereotypes for black women as they do for black males. That sexualized, over-sexualized stereotype that they have for brothers. You see the same thing is being projected onto her. They thought she was a hooker. She's out there making out. And you see people in the dominant society. Oh, she shouldn't have been doing that. They were so quick to believe she was having sex in the car, which there is no proof she was really having sex in that car. There's no proof of that. You know why there's no proof? Because she wasn't arrested for it. People overlook that. She wasn't arrested for the lewd act they said she was doing. If there was proof of that, she would have been arrested. So they wanted to kind of bust her chops a little bit. And also, if she was doing something illegal, they would have handcuffed the dude too. If she was out there, if she was hoeing, as some people said she was, they would have handcuffed the trick too. You're supposed to handcuff both of them. Now, some of the white supremacists, especially the ones I've been going back and forth with on Twitter, they were saying, well, she should have showed her ID. He showed his ID. That's why he wasn't in handcuffs. The thing is, if they were accusing you of a crime, showing your ID is not going to get you out of that crime. Either you committed a crime or you didn't. Showing your ID doesn't exclude you from the crime. So that's a bullshit narrative. So there was a racial element there. There definitely was. See, I'm not negating that whatsoever. The problem is, she's the wrong person to try to pull that out. Because the thing is, you can't be Olivia Pope 1 minute and then be Rosa Parks 30 seconds later. You can't be Sally Hemings and Harriet Tubman. See, she tried to play the privilege card, and when that wasn't working, she immediately tried to go to the race. Well, because I'm black. You know? It don't work like that. And this is why a lot of people turned on her. And on a side note, you know, a lot of swirlers like her, she's swirling, and a lot of people who have the Negro Bedwinge mentality. You notice one thing, her boyfriend, I think his name is Brian James Lucas, that's his name. He's supposed to be this celebrity chef. And you know, on a side note, I noticed that a lot of these women who say, well, I'm going to date a white guy, these sisters who say that, because black men don't have enough money, black men aren't articulate enough, black men are criminals, so all the available black men are just not there, so I'm going to have to go get a white guy. You know, you hear that a lot. And my thing is this. If you say all that about brothers, but then go get a white person who's the exact same thing you criticize brothers for, now you look like a hypocrite. Because her dude, Danielle's dude, now have you heard this dude talk? Because he's out here doing interviews with her, and she's, when they do interviews, she's so thirsty for this dude. I mean, she's holding him and holding his hand all through interviews. Every picture, she's sitting in his lap. I mean, she's just like, that's real weird and thirsty looking. She's just all over this dude. This dude can't talk worth a damn. He sounds like a surfer dude. I mean, he's like, yeah, they pulled us over, you know, they pulled us over, and it was violating my rights. You know, he can't talk worth a damn. His brother looked like his meth pipe is real hot, you know, allegedly. The dude, the car he was in, where they were making out, was like an old Mercedes with no bumper on it. There was no bumper on the car. I'm like, God damn. And do you know this dude, Brian James Lucas? Do you know this guy has been to prison before? He's a convict. A lot of folks don't know that. This guy was a convict. This guy did a little jail time for, he did federal jail time for slinging them things. He was marijuana distribution. Y'all better do some research. You notice they never bring that up in none of these media outlets. They never bring his shit up. He's never criminalizing none of this story. Everything is on her. They don't bring up this dude's jail record, nothing. The police was called on her. This wasn't about ID and all that old shit. Wasn't about that at all. But nobody brings up this dude's jail record. And that's very funny. It's just very funny that she's out here cupcaking with this white gentleman who has a jail record, not that articulate, has a car with no bumper. And she's holding on to him for dear life. Every interview she's holding on to, she's handcuffing this dude. And that's just funny to me. Because a lot of brothers do that. Brothers say, I don't want to date no sisters. They fat. They got this. And then they go date a white woman who has all those negative characteristics they just accuse sisters of. And black women who do that a lot of times do the same thing. They'll go get a white dude up out of a trailer park and cupcake with him like it's the best thing since sliced bread. But we'll criticize brothers. So it's the whiteness that you're holding on to. You're trying to hold on to that whiteness and hoping that some of that whiteness can and that white privilege can rub off on you. And again, our sister Danielle was sadly mistaken. Poor thing. And she tried to go, I'm a celebrity. I got a publicist. I'm on the phone with my dad. And the cops was like, basically, tell your dad, yo, a black ass is getting in some cuffs. Poor thing, she got that wake up call. She started crying. Poor thing. But the Negro Bedouin's wake up call is real. Now, on another note, I still think they should not have handcuffed her like that. Now, they did violate her. Now, I was talking about this on Twitter, and some people were like, man, how are you taking up for the Negro Bedouins? Let me explain this. Even though I disagree with the Negro Bedouin's mentality, one thing I will not do, I will never side with the dominant society against any black person. I'll never do that. That's not going to happen. Because there were racial undertones to what happened. And legally, you're not obligated to show police officers your ID in California. I'm going to say that again. You're not obligated to show them your ID in California. So actually, she was right. And I've heard a lot of people on these message boards throwing that sister under the bus. She's all types of nigga bitches on these message boards on Twitter. They're throwing that sister through the mud. She should have just gave her ID and shut her damn mouth. I mean, they're going there. But no, she should not have. You're not obligated to give your ID. As a matter of fact, you're not even obligated to have an ID. That's not a legal requirement. You don't have to have an ID. You don't have to have any identification when you walk around. But with black folks, it's that nigga, let me see your freedom papers type of thing. That's what that's all about, being able to check black folks at any given moment. Oh, yes, it is. For those who are saying, oh, no, it's not. Yes, it is. You are not legally obligated in the state of California to show no cop, no damn ID. You don't even have to talk to a cop. Now, cops can ask. They have the right to demand to see, but that's all they can do. You have the right to say, no, I don't want to show you my ID. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to remain silent. Because like I said, showing your ID doesn't make up for a crime being committed. For people who try to say that, if you're accused of a crime or suspected of a crime, you have to identify yourself. Bullshit. Especially in the state of California, you do not have to identify yourself. If they accuse you or suspect you of a crime, shit, they're supposed to arrest you if they suspect you of a crime. You're not supposed to even talk to a cop. You have that right. You don't have to say shit to a cop, let alone show them an ID. If a cop say, hey, man, somebody came up and said that you're a suspect in a shooting. Like, no, I'm not. Well, show me your ID. No. How's that going to let you know if I shot somebody? You see how that works? It makes no sense to show your ID because showing your ID is not going to assist with solving a crime. How does showing your ID assist with solving a crime? Because in the case of Danielle and her boyfriend, Brian, he showed his ID and he's a criminal and nothing happened to him. He's a convict and nothing happened to him. This woman is not a convict. She's not a criminal. And again, if she was accused or suspected of lewd acts, why didn't they arrest her for lewd acts? They were just busting her chops a little bit just to put the negress in her place. That's what they do with us. And people will try to misquote these laws to try to mask white supremacy. So there was a definite white supremacist element there. But unfortunately, because of her Negro bedwinching, it was lost on her. So that's why I'm not going to side with white supremacists against her. I'm not going to side with them against her because actually she was in her legal right to deny them to have her ID. See, we got to get off that thing where we got to show our freedom papers all the time. That's that whole slavery thing. Well, you got to stop and show your freedom papers. You don't have to say shit to a cop. You can say three things to a cop. And a cop comes up to you, hey, what are you doing? What's your name? Sir, am I being detained? No, but we need to see your ID. Well, I don't consent to that, and I'm going to remain silent. That's why that stop and frisk, they had to stop and frisk because in New York, because that violated so much of the Constitution. This is why they had to revamp it and they're going for that whole street harassment thing. But that's another story. Go back and listen to the archives. But again, black folks, we got to understand this. It's time for a code of conduct. This whole thing where you think you're going to side up, and I'm talking to black men and women, you think you're going to side up with the white supremacists against other black folks, that game ain't happening no more. For the male coons and the female Negro bedwinches, that's not happening because the dominant society, they're circling their wagons against us in a lot of cases. And they're throwing sisters under the bus with these stereotypes. Do y'all know there was another case in New York, speaking of New York, a few weeks ago, some black women, it was three sisters, not blood sisters, but three black women. Two of them were teachers. One was a lawyer. They were in Manhattan. I think they were at the Standard Hotel. They just went to the Standard Hotel to have some drinks. They went there and the security told them, hey, you ladies can come in here, but you can't be in here soliciting clients. They thought that they were hoes. And they're trying to get a lawsuit going against the Standard out there in New York and Manhattan because the people there, because they were the only black people there, they thought they were hoes. They thought they were in there selling their ass. See, you notice how the people in the dominant society, they're throwing all those old stereotypes at all of us. So that whole Negro bedwinch thing, it ain't working no more. That's not going to get you out of the white supremacist lottery. The nigger trinkets are drying up now. They're not throwing you nigger trinkets for throwing black men under the bus. They're getting all of us now. And it's now time to get a code of conduct. And it's time for us to abide by a code of conduct and get on top of our game and be on top of our empowerment game. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that's been today's episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show. Don't forget to join me. I will be in St. Louis October 4th. That's Saturday, 5:30 p.m. We're having a screening of Hidden Colors 3. Absolutely free to the public, ladies and gentlemen. And we'll have a discussion afterwards. So if you're in Chicago, Atlanta, everywhere you're from, come on down to St. Louis Ferguson because we're going to chop up some real good game. And don't forget to go to Amazon.com to get Hidden Colors 1, 2, and 3. Don't forget to go to TariqElite.com to get all that fresh gear. And don't forget to check out Tariq Radio every Wednesday and check me out on Ustream this Sunday. I will holla. Peace.